It is absolutely good to be in place to worship and fellowship, God. I'm grateful for Jesus. I love him for all the wonderful things he's done for me and my family. He is a good God. He's doing so many wonderful things for us. So hallelujah. We're going to get into the word that we've been discussing, valuing. It's Kingdom Resurgency. This is chapter 2. We are talking about, today we're going to talk about valuing the ways of the kingdom. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word today with these, your people. Thank you that revelation knowledge is flowing freely, unhindered, unrestricted by satanic forces or demonic hindrances, Lord. Lord, I ask that you think of my mind, speak of my vocal cords, meet the needs of these, your people today. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, let me set my timer here and we'll just get on into this. Amen. Hallelujah. Valuing the ways of the kingdom. This is part one. We're going to talk about part two on Thursday. We're just going to get in here and get some basic understanding of some things that we need to walk in as God's children. We are God's children, right?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You're a child of God's?
Amen.
All right. Here's the introduction Luke 10:41. Y'all see what that says up there in Luke 10:41? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Is that your scripture? Man, that's the Lord's scripture. That's his scripture. That's his scripture. So it says, but the Lord replied to her. It's talking about Mary. Martha, you are worried and bothered and anxious about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, that which is, look what it says there, to her advantage, glory to God, which will not be taken away from her. Many Christians are busy for God, endlessly churched, serving, striving, and filling their lives with motion, just busy. It's like Martha, fixing finger foods. And she's upset that Mary wasn't helping her. You can always tell when someone is in their flesh, when they get upset, when no one shows up or people's not supporting them. It amazes me. Everybody wants people to support them. What I've learned is when you are upset about people not supporting you, you're not doing what God told you to do. Noah didn't have nobody supporting him when he was building that boat. They laughed at him. So when you're doing the will of God, you do it for God as unto him and to him only. Brother Hagin used to say, if only two women show up, I'm going to stand here and teach the word of God the same way, and I ain't gonna move off that thing. And obviously he operated in that principle because it was evident God used him to do a major change in the body of Christ with the word of faith about Jesus. You know, Brother Hagin taught faith about Jesus. A lot of people took the faith message, but did you know they forgot the main ingredient, the faith? The main ingredient, the main subject at hand is Jesus. We put our faith in him and everything going to be all right. So you can go through life and have a lot of motion and do a lot of different things, but not with kingdom fruit, kingdom results. People's lives are supposed to be changed. So we're going to get into that. So a lot of people are being church and they're not learning the ways of the kingdom. Key, the ways of the kingdom. I know, and I'm reading this, I know because I was one of them. I was one of them. I thought efforts alone would bring results, but without understanding kingdom principles, I found myself frustrated and fruitless. Now, I have fruits. And the fruits that you get, first and foremost, is the fruits of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, patience, kindness, you know, gentleness. Those are the internal fruits that you got to live by. We talked about peace. Yeah. You should have peace in your life, man. I was at work this week And I'm getting so many compliments. You know, one young lady was saying, you know, you're always happy and smiling. Why are you so happy and why are you smiling? I said, you know, because Jesus lives on the inside of me. He right down in here. He talks to me and he never leaves me nor forsakes me. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
You believe in Jesus, that's where he's at, down on the inside of you by way of the Holy Spirit. He talks to you and leads and guides you. So this teaching is going to show you how to step out of distractions. Martha was distracted with a lot of serving. Busy. Mm-hmm. But where was Mary at? Sitting at the feet of Jesus, learning from him about him and learning about what he has done for her, what he has done for her and who he was. She was learning about the kingdom ways,
mm-hmm.
so that her life would produce results.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're going to get in here and understand that distractions of self-effort. And we're going to get into the simplicity of God's ways. You'll learn how kingdom principles like seeds planted in your heart. They're actually seeds planted in your heart, are planted in your ground. It grows into lasting fruits when applied. You got to apply this word in your heart. You got to put them to practice. There's natural corresponding action that takes place. There's something you got to do in the natural to make God's word become a reality in your life. Amen. Just going to church, wagging your head and fanning your hand. Well, you know, okay. Praise the Lord. We was there. I said we was there.
Amen. We were.
We will discover the joy, freedom, and transformation that comes from living by faith. Look at this. Living by faith in what Jesus has already accomplished on the cross. Key. Already. As we were singing, it's already done. I say this. We walk or we live by a done did gospel. It's done did. Jesus done did it. And so when you find out and believe in your heart what he done did for you, that's what you live by. You getting that? All right. With that, section one, trusting Jesus. Section one is trusting Jesus. We must truly trust Jesus. It is not enough to call him Lord of our lives and quote the book of Psalms where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Do you really believe that? In Psalms 21:1, while refusing to follow his advice, the Lord can't tell you to do nothing that he wants you to do. See, to serve him. Yeah, I hear that, Lord. See, people want you to do what they want you to do. Because
yep.
You don't know Jesus. When you start obeying Jesus, you're going to realize how many people, you're going to realize how manipulated you was in your religious life. Mm-hmm. People are religiously manipulated and don't even know it. It's not until you really learn to hear Jesus and he tells you to do something, you go, man. In order to do what you're telling me to do, Jesus, I got to literally be set free from every course of manipulation in my life. You're going to learn this. You got to be set free from course of manipulation. Emotional attachment to people, places, and things. I'm going to say it again. To do what Jesus called you to do, wants you to do for him, you got to be separated from cords of emotional cords of affliction or cords are emotionally attached to people, places, and things. See, people are attached to people, places, and things. That's why, you know, anyway. So, to serve him without obeying him is hypocrisy. For Jesus himself said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments in John 14:15. Trust and obedience are key to living under God's blessing. I want to say that again to you. Read that again. It says, trust and obedience is key to living under God's blessings. How do I get blessed? Obedience. Why am I being obedient? So it'll go well with me. Doing what God tells me to do brings peace to my heart. It brings peace in my family. It brings peace in my marriage. Watch this. It brings peace in my pocketbook.
Amen.
Because I'm obeying Him. You get what I'm saying? See, we live in peace. What's that peace? That peace that surpasses all understanding. That peace that when we hold our peace, God begins to fight our battle for us.
Amen.
Glory to God. The Father has commanded us to what? Trust Jesus. They asked Him, you know, what must we do to do the work of God? And Jesus said, to believe on Him whom He sent. Not the preacher, Jesus, dum-dums. Remember we talked about the Great Gazoo? Flintstones in a water buffalo lodge? You're listening to all the hi-hat water buffalo lodge people. You trust Him. You trust Jesus. Oh, how do I trust Jesus? You got to get a relationship with Him through the Holy Spirit. You'd be surprised when He started telling you. You'd be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Man, thank you, Jesus, for setting me free from the power of the enemy. Amen. Glory be to God. God is good. So the Father commanded us to trust Jesus, to listen to Him, to believe in Him, as it is written. This is the work of God, that I believe on Him whom He sent, according to John 6:29. You see that? All right, let's mosey on here. Continue with section one, trusting Jesus. You can't say you believe in Jesus and you don't trust Him. You can't. Oh, I believe in God. You can't believe in God and not believe in Jesus, because Jesus told us to trust in His Son Jesus. He told us to believe in the name. Well, people don't even know what that means. We're going to teach you here. What do you mean to believe in His name? And who He is and all He's done. Things got to happen when you speak it in the name of Jesus according to scriptures. It's a spiritual law. All right. Matthew 6:25-34 says, therefore I say to you, do not worry. Look at this. It says, Jesus, you know, is Jesus. Who's talking here?
Jesus.
Jesus is. How we know? It's in the red. No. Hey. If you don't believe in the red, you dead, baby. If you don't believe in red, you dead. Now, Jesus is speaking. The blood is speaking for us. Therefore, I say to you, He says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you will put on. Your wife will get a nice outfit for you. Don't do that. So she got me dressed looking like an iota, all this brown on. I like brown though. Hallelujah. Hey man. That's what He's saying. Your wife will put your grandmas together for you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. I remember going to the store for grandmas too. They matched up. They match you, just match the giraffes up with the giraffes and the monkeys with the monkeys. All right. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. See what that says there? He's speaking of a principle there. Why? Because they can't sow, but we can. So when we sow, we reap and we gather into barns. Glory to God. Our bank accounts begin to get fat. What are you talking about? You're talking about sowing into the kingdom. So He says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather in the barns, yet your Father feeds them. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Are you not more valuable? Did you see that? You're valuable to God because you have the ability to sow. And to sowing is funding and expanding the kingdom. And when you do that, He empowers you to get more so you can sow some more. Glory to God. Man, let's move on. Valuing the ways of the kingdom. This is a way of the kingdom. I said it's a way of the kingdom. It's a way of the kingdom. How much have you sown lately into the kingdom? Into other ministries. I sow in other ministries. Look, listen. This is powerful. This is a spiritual law. It's a spiritual law. Jesus is teaching us spiritual laws. I ain't talking about having a meeting, you know, where everybody come and they bring their little church and then they pillage and strip them from all their money. They have a little program. I'm talking about when you're sitting at home and the Lord tell you to sow into this ministry over here. He told you to give this person this. See, that's sowing and expanding into the kingdom. But you get that understanding, that direction, when you spend time fellowshipping with him on who to sow into and where, and things of that nature. You know, you're not a team player if you don't sow into other ministries. I'm going to say that again. You're not a team player if you don't sow into other ministries. You're about yourself and you're selfish. Your seed meets other people's needs.
Amen.
Say it again. Your seed, we're not teaching on giving fully today, but your seed meets needs. If you got a need, somebody, so does somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You believe you're saving up for something and you seem like you can't get beyond that threshold. Well, talk to God. Maybe I need to sow. This going to meet somebody's needs. It's a law. Let me move on. I'm ready. I ain't going to teach on it. So 27 says, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to your stature? In other words, you can't make yourself grow. He says in 28, so why do you worry about clothes? I told you your wife going to put you some grandmas together. She's going to have you looking nice. Praise the Lord. She will. So why do you worry about clothing? He says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Look what he says. And I say to you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like these. Now notice what I have there. What meaneth this? Why did he bring Solomon up? That he wasn't clothed and arrayed like these beautiful flowers that grew beautiful on their own. He programmed them to grow beautiful. So when you operate in the kingdom, prosperity will flow or you will grow and you'll have nice things automatically as you seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Amen.
So this stumped me for years, man. And listen, what I'm teaching, you know, this man, I'm teaching some good stuff here. I know people want some hooping and hollering, moaning and groaning and make them feel good because they're going through problems. But the reason you're going through problems because you don't know how to operate in the kingdom.
Amen.
Been there. Hey, we've been there. Been there. Done that. It didn't work. Now it's working. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Where are the people? Encumbered with a lot of unnecessary information about God and they're not learning about Jesus because they don't have a heart to hear the simplicity of the gospel so that they can grow. We were there. We were there, man. This type of teaching, man, I didn't like. But when I... Praise the Lord. Let's move on. This stumped me for years, y'all. So in my time of fellowshipping with the Lord, having my Emmaus Road experience, you know, the Emmaus Road, when Jesus began to expound upon himself out of the old covenant, their eyes were opened. Well, as you spend time feeding and meditating on the word, asking questions, I asked him a question. What does Solomon got to do with this, Lord? So it stopped me from years. So, you know, I asked the Lord, what it mean? And then he answered me with a question. He said, what did Solomon pray for when he became king? He prayed for wisdom. And what did I give him afterwards? I gave him wealth. Glory to God. He asked for wisdom to lead God's people. He says, and because you didn't ask me for wealth and money for yourself, you asked me for wisdom to lead your people. You asked me for wisdom, get this, to increase my kingdom. Glory to God. Glory to God. See, the prayer of Jabez has to shift to a new covenant understanding of prayer. The prayer of Jabez was expand his kingdom or expand his territory for himself. See, you still want your territory expanded for your selfish self. But when you come to God and say, God, expand my territory or expand me or use me, watch this, to expand your kingdom, to expand your kingdom or territory in the earth. Now, yeah. That's a prayer he going to answer. Because it's all about the King Jesus, all about King Jesus and his kingdom being expanded in the earth. So when you seek him for wisdom on how to be used by him to expand his kingdom, then he gives you answers. He gives you wisdom. He leads and guides you and shows you. And then you start prospering and increasing. He'll tell you to do something. And you'll go, okay, why? Because you asked him for wisdom. What do I do? What do you want me to do? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I just taught you a principle. Ask for wisdom on how he wants to use you to expand his kingdom. Am I blessing you? How can I expand your kingdom, God? What can I do to increase your kingdom? And so it makes, I say, oh, Lord Jesus, I see what you're saying there. That makes sense. You get that? That's why he put that there. That's why he put Solomon there. Solomon asked for wisdom. He's saying, ask for wisdom to increase my kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What? The things that you need. Food, clothing, and shelter. Come on, we're going to read this. So in verse 30, it says, now if he says, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. What's that? You have a little bit of faith. You don't have a lot of faith. You don't have enough faith and understanding that when you seek the kingdom's advancement first. See, the tithe is the first fruits that you give to God. He empowered you. He done blessed you with that job, but now you ain't got no money to tithe. But you didn't pray for him. Oh, God, I need a job. Oh, God, I need a job. Oh, God, I want a house. So he blessed you with these things, but you still don't seek ye first the kingdom. You don't seek ye first the expanding of Jesus' kingdom. He's the king, and we're expanding his territory. So if you're not tithing into the kingdom, you're not trying to expand the territory. I know people don't want to hear this, but this is the absolute God's honest truth. That's why you're struggling in the financial arena. See, you devil-proof your money when you tithe your money. Glory to God. I said you devil-proof your money when you tithe your money. If you ain't tithe, then the devil can fool around with your money. He can fool around in your life. Glory to God. It's a principle. It's a principle. Jacob said, Lord, 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 if you bless me, surely I will tithe you a tenth. It's a principle. It's a principle. Melchizedek received the tithes. I know we're going here. He received the tithes. When? After Abraham defeated 10 kings. Then he tithed afterwards. So he would give you the job. The question is, are you going to tithe afterwards? He made a miracle happen for you in the financial arena. You got a promotion that you really don't qualify for, but you don't tithe. You use that bigger income to get a more house and more car. See, your heart ain't for the kingdom. So what happens is, people like me is going to strip it from you. What? Because the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. So somebody living in my house.
Amen.
Somebody driving my car. Somebody got the sheep for this house.
Amen.
It's a spiritual principle. I know it's a bold statement. It's a spiritual principle. You preaching and teaching, they don't even tithe 10% of the income that comes into that local assembly. It's a spiritual principle. And when you when you operate in spiritual principles, it's a spiritual law. It's got to happen, baby. The pastor himself don't tithe and got the audacity to tell you to tithe. See? How come I'm struggling in the financial arena? Probably your pastor don't tithe. Probably. He probably don't tithe. So this is a spiritual principle here. Why do you got sinners in the people struggling with lust and perversion? It's simple. Your pastor is struggling with it. Well, how do you know that? Because I understand how this works. I get up and I pray. I bind perversion and all that stuff over every member. I pray for every member of this church. I pray. I bind the works of the enemy. I bind the works of the flesh. Hey, why? Because it starts with me. I don't let the devil get in me. And if the devil ain't in me, I can't rebuke the devil if the devil's in me. I can't deal with sin, lust, and perversion if I'm compromised with it. You understand what I'm saying? That's why they don't preach against it, because they ain't. This is so simple, y'all. It ain't rocket science here. I'm not judging. I'm telling you the way this works. Matthew 6, 25. Through 34, we're at 31. It says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall you eat, or what shall you drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But look what he says here: seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Did you see that? What? All the things that the Gentiles seek. They want nice houses. They want nice cars. They work two and three jobs, and they go party and drink and smoke and ride here, ride there, and go do this. They go to they go to football games out of town because, you know, they're a big fan. You know what I'm saying? They spend big money because they're a big fan. All that money they spend to go see a football team, but they don't go to church. And then got the audacity to say God blessing them. You a lie from the pit of hell. God don't bless sinners. You're being blessed by the devil of this world. You know, the God of this world got you deceived, thinking that you're being blessed by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's not blessing you. That's why when people are always talking about God blessing me, you got to ask them, what God you talking about? Are you talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Jesus came to destroy the works of sin and Satan, and you live in a life of sin and pleasure and sin and sin and pleasure. You don't go to fellowship nowhere. You don't tithe nowhere. You ain't living holy and righteous. You got a dirty, filthy mouth, and you got the audacity to say, God blessing you? No, you deceived, baby. You are deceived, and you got Christian folks that think they're being blessed. I was one of them. I remember I went to a funeral, and I was watching, looking at somebody on Facebook talking about how blessed they was, this, that, and the other. And I said, oh, praise God. I started, and God spoke to me. I ain't blessing them. Said, what? You ain't blessing them? I ain't blessing them. I don't bless sinners. So we got to get our understanding right. God is not blessing sinners. So stop celebrating and saying God blessing them. They ain't. He ain't. They're deceived. And they're operating in the system of this world. They're being promoted in Babylon's kingdom, and got you deceived and thinking that you are in God's kingdom. You're a lie. I was there, doing anything to get people to come to church. I don't care, man. This thing can take as long as it wants to fill up. Oh, it's gonna fill up though, because I'm operating in the spiritual law. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So, amplify, huh? Amplify. I like what this read. But first, and most importantly, seek, aim, and strive after his kingdom and his righteousness. His way of doing and being right. Mm-hmm. His way of doing and being right. Living in sin is not his way of doing and being right. Come on. So, let's come on. An attitude of attitude and character of God. And all these things will be given to you. Given to you. God has freely given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. See that? He put the godliness on that thing too. Godliness is the prerequisite for the blessings. Right? Okay then. Amen. I'm happy because I know how to get my wealth from the wicked. Just keep living godly. He drives the wicked out. I know what God up to. Yeah. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. What is he saying? God gonna trouble the trouble. Don't worry about that. He promises to provide for every need as we seek to advance his kingdom through a willing heart, learning and applying the spiritual principles of his reign. Glory to God. We discover that God himself takes care of us. Did you see that? God takes care of us.
Yes, he does.
Say that with me. God takes care of me.
God takes care of me.
Because I live godly.
Because I live godly.
That was his whole purpose. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Be content with being godly. And he makes sure you have food, clothing, and shelter. And he's going to increase and multiply your seed sown into the kingdom. See what I'm saying? You're so happy about, see what you, listen, man, what you love and appreciate and value, that's where your money goes. So if you value your salvation, your money goes into your salvation. Glory, glory, God, this is good. It's so simple. You understand? If you value your salvation, your money goes to your salvation. You want to see other people get saved. If you've been saved from something. Some folks ain't been saved from nothing. That's why they ain't giving nothing. I ain't always going to talk about money today. I ain't scared to talk about money because I know where my money go. I sow into the kingdom. I got a lot of money coming to me because it's a spiritual law. He empowers us to prosper when we increase his kingdom. All right, now, let's go to section two, the kingdom way. section 2, we're going to talk about the kingdom way. Praise the Lord. In Matthew 13, 17 through 23, we're going to look at that. It says, listen then to the meaning of the parable of the sower. So they ask him, what's the meaning of the parable of the sower and the seed? The sower sows the word. Verse 19 says, when anyone hears the word of the what? Kingdom. It's the word of the kingdom regarding salvation. Salvation means deliverance, healing, prosperity. It's the total package, baby. See, salvation is the total package. Glory to God. Is heaven here on earth? Glory to God. Is having some heaven here on earth? Glory to God. I'll say it again. Salvation is having some heaven here on earth. Man, that's why people don't want to go to church, man. They left the church because they wasn't getting no heaven on earth. I'm going to tell you why. You know, they wasn't talking about Jesus. That's why. And does not understand and grasp it. See, they don't understand. What happens, it says, the evil one comes and snatches away that what was sown where? In his heart. This is the one. This is the one in whom seed was sown by the wayside or by the road. Verse 20. The one on whom seed was sown on rocky ground is, this is the one who hears the word and at once welcomes it with joy. Man, God gonna bless you. God gonna bless you. Oh, God gonna, you know, but you know, yeah. It's on rocky ground. And I told you, and I used to, you know, I had the grass cutting business. There was this lady that had a parcel in her front yard. She had a patch of grass that always turned yellow and brown and stuff. All the other grass was beautiful, blue, Kentucky bluegrass, just beautiful and luscious. She's like, how come this won't grow? How come this is always in this position? And I got a long screwdriver, and I said, because there's rocks down there, and it won't take root. So I showed her. Went to one area where it was luscious, and this long screwdriver just went straight in the ground. Go there, ma'am. So what happened, she was a new build, and she had a driveway right here, and the street was here. And what happens a lot of times when they clean is they'll put all the old gravel and rocks back on the grass, and then they'll try to cover it up a little bit, but all that that gravel sits in there, and it hinders the grass seed, especially what she had. She had, you know, that Kentucky bluegrass, so it's got that long roots. It needed to get some more roots in there so it could grow luscious. So when the sun hit, it would burn it up and stuff like, because it wasn't getting any nourishment or water. This is real simple stuff I'm teaching. But this is what happened in our lives when we don't get rooted, get good roots in our life about, watch this, who we are and what we have been provided for in Jesus. You can't weather the storms in life. It's real simple. Because you don't have nothing to stand on. You don't have no roots. So you can't get fruits in that truth because you're not, there's things inside your heart. And so like I told her, I said, you're going to have to call the new builder and tell them to clean that out, dig that up, and put some new sod there. So you're going to have to get all that junk out of your heart so that God's word can take root. This is the kingdom's way. What's going on? There's things in your heart that's more important than Jesus. That's what's going on. All right, Matthew 13, 17 through 23, still in the amp. Verse 20 says, yet he has no root. Look what it says. What is that? Substantial root. Substantial root. Substance. Substantial. Don't have enough root in himself. Look what it says. But only temporarily. But it's only temporary. And when pressure, look at this, I got this highlight. When pressure and persecution comes because of the word, immediately he stumbles and falls away. When we were building the church before, when we were doing this, we started growing and things started happening. I started getting attacked. My health and stuff like that. And I didn't know why. And I didn't understand that the enemy was attacking me. So it says, immediately he stumbles and falls away and falls away. It says, abandoning the one who is the source of salvation. Jesus is the source of your deliverance when the enemy is come attacking you. But if you're not rooted in that reality, you'll leave. Why? To get alleviation from that attack, that frustration that you're going through. This is why people backslide. I'm teaching good today. This is literally why people backslide. They're not rooted in Christ. And like I told you, when I left and I said, this ain't working, I don't know what's going on. It's because I was hearing a lot of messages about faith, But faith has to be in someone or something. So a lot of people think faith is believing the word of God into existence. You don't believe God's word into existence. You believe God will bring his word into existence. Why will he do it? Because of what Jesus has done for you. You have to have faith in Jesus. I told you, you know, faith in God is half the equation. God told us to believe in Jesus and what Jesus has done for us. So when we put our faith in God and what God provided for us in Jesus, it equals salvation. It equals deliverance. It equals our prosperity. It equals our healing. When we put our faith in God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, what the blood has done for us. Am I making sense to you?
Yes.
When you have that faith in Jesus and your total salvation, you can stand against the storms of life. But the reason people can't stand against the storms of life, they have faith in God and church and how good Reverend can preach. That was a good message. I know people, I'm not trying to, look, this is the only way you're going to get it, is someone's got to say it to you. Go to church and man, Reverend preach a good life. Oh, that was good. What you learned about Jesus? What did you learn that's going to help you through your storms in life? Oh, hold on. Hold on to God's hand. And then, but what chapter and verse do you have to fight the devil with? Jesus said it is written when he was tested by Satan. What scriptures are you standing on saying that it is written that you can back the devil up off your life?
Amen.
And you meditate on that word. Get that word in your heart so that when that word's in your heart, you pull it up and speak it. It's power that's releasing out of your mouth. Because there's no power in your word if you don't believe that word. Your faith is like gunpowder. Pow! Shoots the word out like a projectile against the enemy. He backs up off that thing because it's full of faith. So see, the word has to be mixed with faith. Your faith. You got to believe it in your heart. And if you don't believe it in your heart, you're just talking and saying stuff. But when problems come, you know what I'm saying? That pressure gets your mouth to say other things.
Yep.
Remember to talk about how a horse and a bit, the purpose of that bit is to put pressure on that horse's mouth to make it turn. See what I'm saying?
Yep.
So if you're not rooted in Jesus and who you are, life and death, our death and life is in the power of your tongue. From the abundance of the heart, your mouth will speak. So if you ain't got no Jesus in your heart, who you are, what you have in Jesus, and you don't believe in your heart, though no weapon will form against you shall prosper, that you don't believe in your heart, that God has supplied all my needs by Christ Jesus. If you don't believe it in your heart, when pressure comes, you start talking the problem.
Come on.
See what I'm saying? So it's a spiritual law. What you believe in your heart and say with your mouth, you shall have. You start denying the one, the source of your salvation.
Come on.
I'm preaching real good today. Glory to God. I know you want to hear Reverend tune up. You won't know the scriptures. This is how it works. So this is why people backslide. The devil sends out retaliating spirits to attack them with problems and circumstances and stuff like that in their life. You know what I'm saying? And so if you're not built up in Christ, you can't stand. You can't stand. You can't stand. When the storms come, you seek like sand because you're not built upon the rock. What's the rock? Revelation knowledge of Jesus. Who you are, what you have, what he's already done for you. You don't have revelation knowledge in the authority of the name of Jesus to back the devil up off you. You say it with your mouth, but you don't believe it in your heart. Why? Why don't you believe it? Because you're not getting nourished in it daily. Every time you come to church, you got to get nourished in who you are and what you have in Jesus. Over and over and over. Get that wisdom like the mother of pearl. And now you got that pearl of great price inside of your heart. And you can speak the thing. And that mountain is going to bow to the Lordship of Jesus Christ that you believe. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit is teaching today. I'm just letting him flow out of me. 22. And the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the worries and distractions of the world. You see that? The worries and the distractions of the world and the deceitfulness, the superficial pleasures and the lights. God understand. Do you understand? You don't want to live godly. He understand. Why ain't you somewhere in the local fellowship that's feeding you a good diet of Jesus? I got to qualify my message, my words now. That's got you sitting, dining at the master's table. Glory to God. Eating a good, luscious meal about him. Glory to God. That's the only way you're going to grow, man. You got to know who you is in Jesus and get nourished in that and hear that. Because that's the needful thing. That's what's important. Him. God told you to learn of him. Jesus told you. God said learn of him. Whosoever believe in him shall not perish. Whosoever believe in Jesus shall not perish. Whosoever believeth in Jesus should not perish. That's the scriptures. I don't care about all the other information you're getting. It's distractions.
Yep.
I don't know when Jesus is coming. I know he is. So I don't need to go to some symposium, some class about whatever when he's coming back. I know he's coming back. Wait, I don't know. He don't even know because it's only left into the Father's. He said, occupy till he come. Keep doing what I tell you to do till I show up. I might show up tomorrow. Praise the Lord. I'm going to heaven. But if you don't, I'm going to be right back here on Thursday teaching about Jesus.
Amen.
You understand? Living godly and teaching about Jesus. I'm going to say that again. Living godly, but teaching about Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Whoever show up, show up. Who, hey, you want to hear about Jesus? This is what, hey, I know, you like going to the restaurant. I know what they sell in that restaurant. You know. They you know. You go to Penn Station, you don't get a Big Mac at Penn Station. You know what I'm saying? You gotta know what the church serves. We serve up Jesus here. We'll give you good helpings of him so that you can grow strong. You seated with him in heavenly places. And if you seated him, if you seated with Jesus, God told Jesus, sit here at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Well, if I'm seated with Jesus, then God's gonna make my enemies, who is Jesus' enemies, who is God's enemies, my footstool.
Amen.
Why? Because Ephesians said that I've been seated with him. But you got to believe that in your heart. Then God can fight your battle. All right, let's move on. So the superficial pleasures and delights of riches choke the word and it yield no fruit. And for me, it's like this, just church folks care about other things, the world, and talking about what Trump doing and debating racism and debating politics and all that old goofy stuff. No, Jesus is Lord. And thy kingdom is coming, and his will is being done. You understand? I've lived, you know, 58 years now, and I heard when I grew up, I heard them talking about presidents too. Mm-hmm. Every generation talked about the president that was in office, and it ain't changed. They all did stupid stuff, and everybody worried about their money. Huh? Ain't nothing new. You got a new generation that want to talk about it. Man, listen, they were talking about that 40 years ago. It ain't going to change. The only thing changing is the kingdom.
Amen.
All right. In Matthew 13, verse 23, let's finish up here, says, and the one on whom seed was sown on good soil. Look what it says here. Good soil is good heart. That's me and you. We got good hearts. Because we didn't clean out our yard. We got the word sown in our heart. See what I'm saying? Got all that junk out. See what I'm saying? That's our job to tend the garden of our hearts. That's our job to tend the garden. It says, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. The issues of your life in Christ. That's what flows out of your heart. The issues of your life in Christ will flow out of your heart. But you got to guard your heart. Don't let no devil come in no garden, just like in the book of Eden. In Eden. I don't want the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I cursed that at the root. I'm living out of the tree of life, which is Jesus. Stand abiding in him. So look. And the one on whom the seed was sown on good soil. Say it. That's me, doggone. That's me. I'm good soil. I got a good heart. This is the one who hears the word and understands it and grasps it. And all I get in, get understanding about Jesus, who he is and what he's. People tired of hearing me talk about Jesus. I ain't gonna stop. I mean, like, you act like that's all it is. It is. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except by him. Ain't much to talk about, far as I'm concerned. But Jesus. Hallelujah. And I worship and I thank God for Jesus.
Amen.
I thank him. You know, don't talk about something, talk about the Lord. Talk about Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. That's what moves his heart. When you're thankful for God, for Jesus, that's what moves the Father's heart. He's the gift. Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. Be happy about the gift that keeps on giving. Hallelujah. Thank the Father for the gift. Glory. We're coming up to Thanksgiving. Yeah. I'm thankful this. I'm thankful for Jesus, God.
Hallelujah.
They thankful for their house, their car, their I love my wife and all that. Yeah, but I'm thankful for Jesus. Because if it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't have none of this stuff.
No,
we're gonna talk. We're gonna thank. Huh? Yeah. Why wouldn't he be here? We're gonna thank God for Jesus this daggone year.
Every day.
I don't know what. He indeed bears fruit and yields some 100 times as much as was sown. So that thing gonna grow exponentially. That's my word. That's a word, but I like that. Some 60 times as much and some 30. So the reason it's 100, 60, and 30, because what measure you meet is measured unto you. How much are you willing to give yourself and be a hundredfold saint? Everybody don't want to be a hundredfold saint, but they say. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I'm done, man. I got an empty screen here. That's it. I'm done. 45 minutes. I ain't, man. Ain't no reading the beast long-winded about this thing. People don't understand the word. They ain't going to understand. They can't get all that. You know what I'm saying? Go home, not study it. Look at it. We come back on Thursday. We're going to get some more.
Amen.
Amen. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word with these your people today. Lord, those that are listening on the stream, I hope they got something too, Father God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord God. He's a good God. Amen.